Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. You can join the conversation at 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
Matt.
And Peakless Mountaineer.
And we've been sort of all over the place with discussion tonight, but all centering around one central concept, and that is cryptocurrency and liberation from the financial system that, you know, is seeking to destroy our lives and our value.
Yeah, we went ham on crypto tonight.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing, man.
No, it's a good thing.
Hey, you guys are always talking about masks. Well, here's a different subject.
High five.
Right? Now, I did want to, I wanted to push back on your little cliffhanger there. So you were saying, like, well, should we be according to logic, or should we be getting our moral system from a religion?
I didn't say logic.
What'd you say?
I don't remember exactly how but there's nothing logical about morality.
Oh, I disagree completely. And I think that's probably what our last caller was trying
to
say.
Well, I think morality is just one topic that we can try to apply logic to.
Well, morality is a luxury. It's important to give it. When you're starving to death, the idea that stealing is wrong, that's a luxury you don't have.
Right.
So we have to operate from that perspective, that morality is a luxury. And it's only logical insofar as you are afforded that luxury. But when you're not afforded that luxury, when you have to steal or you have to kill.
Well, and see, that's the difference between, like, a moral system and just a person's sort of naturally looking at things. So a person just
So you're talking about a code of ethics versus a person's internal morality.
Not exactly. So, like, if I'm going to die, it is very easy for me to figure out some way to not die. So if I have to work on a short-term basis, it's not that difficult for a person to figure out something for a short-term basis. But, okay, what happens after that? Okay, my belly's full, I've got a roof over my head, now what? And that's where these systems of morality are useful.
Yes, once you have the luxury of not having to, you know, fight for your life.
Right, right.
But when you're standing in front of the train and you either have to move out of the way and let your friend die, or you have to stand there while your friend moves out of the way, it's not immoral to move out of the way and let your friend die.
Probably the best thing to do is to shove them that way and you go the other.
Well, generally, that was a bad example. It's hard to come up with these sorts of examples when you have to speak and think
and
at the same time.
And even that is not quite always true. Because in a lot of cases, it's actually useful for some members of the community to put their life on the line. For example, why did all of these monks get away with not reproducing for so long? Now, I don't think that is the best system at all, but they sure did get away with it.
What do you mean, get away with it?
Their culture continued to survive in part because of what they were doing.
Well, they were recruiting from the outside.
Well, they're recruiting from the outside. And
if they weren't doing that, they would have died off, and that would have been the end of it. I mean, there is actually a sect, I think, here in New Hampshire, people who don't have sex, and they're on, like, the last generation.
Really?
There was a sect of Quakers, the Shakers, I think they were, and that was one of their things, is like, no, it is sullying yourself to engage in a physical congress with someone, therefore you should never reproduce. And, yeah, no, they're whittling down to just, they're about to go extinct because of that.
Which was inevitable,
policy.
Right?
Hard pass. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But my point is that having some people whose job was to maintain a community instead of reproduce was a long-term benefit to that community and even to their genes.
But it's only a benefit if they can pull in people from the outside who can perpetuate their way of life.
Right, right. That's actually a really big part of moral systems, is they're not systems that are terribly useful on you alone on a desert island. They're just not terribly useful for them.
Well, if you're alone on a desert island, then there's no such thing as moral or immoral. These are judgments of how we behave with others.
Exactly. They're how you behave with others. So if you take them out of the framework of being a social creature, then, yeah, morality doesn't really work. But the fact is, humans don't work that way. It is almost impossible to survive on your own. And not only do we need each other, but we choose to be around each other.
And that's why this pandemic has affected people and caused so much trauma and depression and anxiety and suicides, is because humans are social creatures.
Yes, we are. And that's part of my point with there is actually a logic to even religious moral systems. It's not perfect, I'll grant you, but there are a lot of principles that are extremely difficult to get to on your own through sheer logic, that if you just have them written down, then your tribe can work by them, and they do work over a long period of time.
Well, yeah, but that's no different than having a system of law in place like the Code of Hammurabi or whatever.
They are nearly identical.
The statement that I was trying to make, and I worded it badly because I should have said, you know, from a deity, but the argument that so many religious people make is that we don't get our morality from any of this stuff. We get it from God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just rank authoritarianism, where their God can say or do anything he wants, and it's not immoral because their authority figure was the one who did it. We have the same thing with the state, where the state gives us these laws, it tells us what we can and can't do, and then it roundly violates those laws, and everyone's like, but it's okay. They're the government.
Well,
they're above the laws, just like God is above, the gods of religions are above their laws.
And that's
the
exactly
God of the Bible killed 50,000 people on a random page that I flipped to in the Bible, and no one's like, oh my God, that's immoral. But it was.
And that's exactly how you can tell when something has become corrupt, is when they are not standing by the rules that they laid down, then, yeah, absolutely, you should stop listening to them.
And that's why I'm a Satanist, because standing up to arbitrary authority that tells you to obey when it doesn't obey its own rules, I refuse to bow. And that's the principal sin that Lucifer committed. God told him to bow, and he said, why? And God said, because I said so. He said, that's not a good enough reason.
And I agree that that's not a good enough reason. However, if what...
Actually, God said, because I said so, and if you don't, then I'm going to, you know, torture you and kill you and all of that. And he said, well, screw that then.
Well, I'd rather
live
free. Anywhere in the Bible.
No, that's actually from Paradise Lost, but it's been co-opted into Christianity, so it's Christian canon at this point.
Yeah, it's a really weird thing that
suggests any of that.
Yeah, yeah. All of that got taken out of the Bible like 1,000 years ago.
Well, it was never in there. It got added in there by Milton's Paradise Lost, and now people believe that it's canon, and might as well be. But just like the tribulation and the rapture, there's nothing about that in the Bible. The whole point of the tribulation is that Christians are supposed to suffer great tribulation. But then they created this loophole. Oh, it's okay. We're not going to actually suffer. God's going to take us away first. No, the whole point of the book is that it's going to suck for you.
Well, the tribulation and the rapture are talked about in Revelations.
Well,
however,
there's a mention in Job, and it's extremely difficult. There's a mention in Job, and not Job, Daniel, and I think the book of Mark.
But the bit about the Luciferian rebellion, that actually was in books of the Bible that are still held in Ethiopia. If you check out an Ethiopian Bible, they've still got all of what's called the Apocrypha. They've still got it in there. So
really?
They will actually, their Bible actually tells you about, yes, Lucifer was this highest of the angels and most beautiful.
The first thing created. God, the voice said, let there be light.
Mm-hmm.
And there was light. Lucifer is light.
The bringer of light. So
Prometheus, essentially. Just like in Greek mythology, yes. Lucifer brought light, Prometheus brought fire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and...
Interesting. I've never interpreted the statement of God saying, let there be light, as...
And there was light, and that's why Lucifer is also the Judeo-Christian demigod of wisdom, because it's the oldest. He's the first.
That's where the pride comes from. Well, I have never made that connection.
And
I'm going to think
about
that tonight.
I can talk to you about all that stuff.
Well,
I have
in Genesis, it specifically says the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil was good for wisdom. The serpent was right.
He told the truth. The fruit that God forbade them from eating and lied to them about.
No.
And said, you will die.
Oh, no.
And when they didn't even know the difference between right and wrong, he expected them to make a judgment call about what was right and wrong.
He didn't tell them. All right.
Because he did. He said, thou shalt not eat us of the fruit.
And Adam and Eve were like, I haven't even put on pants yet. And you're telling me to do all this stuff, and I haven't even put on pants today.
He didn't tell them. He told Adam.
That's right.
And Adam said, well,
that's right.
And Adam said, well, this gift that you gave me told me to do it, so what was I supposed to do?
Without knowing the difference between right and wrong in the first place.
Which good speaks point. To a fallible God.
You told them, you told him. 603-283-6160, it's Free Talk Live.
It's just aliens anyway.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XE family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. And somehow we managed to get our way into religion while still talking, in my opinion, about authority, decentralization, the power of the individuals, because ultimately the Christian mythology is one of an arbitrary centralized authority laying out dictates and the story of someone who basically said no. Now, you and I have differing opinions on this. I would argue that Lucifer had to have free will in order to choose to disobey God.
Well, so here's one big difference between perspective and mine.
We probably covered a lot of this during the break that we didn't actually just recap on, and I have no desire to recap on what we covered during the break, so try to stay up with the conversation that you weren't here for 4 minutes ago.
I never grew up... I have never really thought that God was all-powerful.
Well, that's an oxymoron.
You can't have an all-powerful good guy. You can have good, or you can have all-powerful. So when God says a thing, it's assumed that he's commanding this to be, and I don't think a lot of times it is. So, like, when he commands Eve, now you will have great labor in order to bring forth children, that's not a command. That's a description.
Well, I think
but you're going to love men. Well, in general, that is what happens. When he says, snake, you will be on your belly and eat the dust of the...
I think we have to scratch omnipotence from the conversation entirely, though, because it's a logical fallacy. You can't be... Can Jesus microwave a burrito so hot that he himself could not eat it? Right? That's my go-to to talk about omnipotence. It's absurd. It is a logical fallacy. Such a thing cannot exist.
If he gave the burrito free will...
He could be very powerful. But it can't be all-powerful.
If it was a free will burrito, then it could choose either to cook or not. And that is how you make a rock that is too big you can't push it. And still be all-powerful.
I think what you just did was a non sequitur, and I reject it as an argument.
Well, you were asking...
I don't think that Jesus can give the burrito free will and then still somehow have to determine its own temperature and yet still have the omnipotence to make a burrito so hot that he himself cannot eat it. The oxymoron there cannot be overcome. Either he is powerful enough to eat it or he is powerful enough to make it too hot for himself to eat.
I'm about to make another Aqua Teen Hunger Force reference here in about 2 seconds if you guys keep this up. It has something to do with a sandwich from hell called the Brood Witch.
Hey, man, they're making a new movie. I'm okay with
her. Heard. So sad.
You've got to eat the sun-dried tomatoes.
Yeah.
So without omnipotence, we're just talking about a God that is very powerful. And I think that's a much more manageable subject.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing I look at it is, every step in the Genesis story is the creation of a world where life can happen. It's not the creation of everything that is. Because, okay, where did the deep come from? There's no point where God said, let there be the deep. No, there just was one. And he floated on the face of the waters. Where did the waters come from? God didn't say, let there be waters. That never freaking happened.
Were the waters first then?
But ain't that curious? So you have these waters, you have this deep, and God didn't command it into existence. It just was there. Now, what he did was float on the face of it. So he kind of got a handle on it, said, okay, the water will go this far and no further. Okay, now there's a surface, which is basically what you have to do for life, is you have to put down lines between things and say, okay, well, in order to stand on land, the sea has to go this far and no further. And how far this far is kind of an impossible problem of fractals, but there still is one. There's still a point where, okay, the land starts here because the sea stops.
And sure, but it wasn't necessary for there to be land for there to be life. I mean, life evolved in the oceans. It began in the oceans.
Sure.
It just ended up coming onto land.
Sure, but there had to be a place where it stopped in order for there to be us.
I mean, dolphins didn't require it. And
dolphins didn't require it, and they have no civilization.
I know a lot of people who would argue they do have some form of civilization.
Well,
have you never read the Illuminati trilogy by Robert Anton Wilson?
I haven't, actually.
Oh, you're missing out. He's a good librarian,
really
too.
Need to.
They certainly have languages and the ability to communicate,
oh, yeah,
and they
definitely
show very high levels of reasoning. They have social structures. They have hierarchies. I don't know which part of that you...
And they are devoted warriors.
No tech, though.
No technology.
No technology. And I think that's a really important part of humans. I mean, talking is super important, sure, but, like, fire. Fire can only happen on land. No land, no fire. No fire, none of this stuff. No microphone I'm talking into, no cryptocurrency to gush about.
Yeah, no electricity, obviously, because you're underwater. Everything's going to be fine. I get you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be on land to have a certain level of technological development.
Right. And that technological development has allowed us greater forms of creation than we ever would have had without it.
Absolutely.
Right. So if you're going to further life and further life's ability to create,
I mean, we're kind of
draw a line.
We're kind of assuming that, too, because, I mean, we're kind of committing the anthropic principle here of the, hey, we're here, we have land, we have electricity, we have fire, so we couldn't have these microphones and all of these other things without those. But in fact, if we did evolve underwater, maybe we are creative enough that we could have come up with a way to have underwater microphones and stuff like that. We just don't know.
Maybe.
We work with what we got, and if we lived under the ocean, we would work with what we had.
But certainly,
I'm not saying electricity would be possible or that fire would be possible, but there may be other ways of solving the problems of getting a message across a large distance than just electricity.
Could be. Maybe.
How does the intercom work at the fast food place in SpongeBob SquarePants?
I don't know.
How do you order a Krabby Patty at the drive-thru in SpongeBob SquarePants World?
So
there's got to be electricity down there.
They have swimming pools. Think about that.
That's true.
Well, Bender in Futurama smoked a cigar under the ocean.
It's true.
That's true.
I mean, we're talking about cartoons there.
Yeah.
But.
Are you suggesting that cartoons don't follow our system of physics?
Maybe that's why we love cartoons.
Well, and actually, that's an important point. So, yeah, stories don't have to follow the same rules as the real world. Because
it comes full circle. We're going back to the Bible.
That's right.
Well, stories are certainly useful, right? This is why I point out that I don't believe in any actual being such as Satan or Lucifer or Yahweh or anything like that. Just like I don't believe in such a being as Harry Potter. But the things I learned from reading those stories were still useful to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe Harry Potter, what I learned from there, was useful enough to call myself a Harry Potterist or whatever. But the stuff I learned from the Bible and the symbol of Satan as a resistance to arbitrary authority certainly is.
Well, and there's definitely people that that do love Harry Potter enough to be Harry Potterists. And, I mean, man, that lady got the archetypes down. Like, seriously, there's this institution made of stone, but deep underneath the institution made of stone, there is a predator that if it sees you, you freeze, turn to stone. Like, man, those archetypes are solid. And Harry Potter himself, okay, so he is touched by evil, but does not succumb to it. I mean, that's the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil right there. And by being touched by evil, he has these powers that he wouldn't otherwise.
It all comes back to the hero with the thousand faces.
Absolutely.
All of these, it's all the same story told in different ways. 603-283-6160. You're welcome to weigh in with your thoughts at 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Ahead of a vote on legislation to set up a 9/11-style congressional committee to investigate the January Capitol riots, some Republican leaders are questioning the need for it. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell told reporters that his members are still undecided.
I think I'm safe in characterizing our conference as willing to listen to the arguments about whether such a commission is needed.
McConnell added that he questioned whether a commission would get in the way of ongoing criminal investigations. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy has said he won't support a measure to create the panel unless it also looks into groups like Black Lives Matter over violent protests last summer in the wake of the death of George Floyd. If approved, the bill would create an independent 10-person panel charged with making recommendations to improve security and prevent future violence at the Capitol. This is USA Radio News. Texas Governor Greg Abbott announced Tuesday that he had signed an executive order banning any government in his state from issuing a mask mandate. Abbott says the order clarifies an order from March when he opened up the state 100%, but some local municipalities chose to still enforce a mask mandate. Abbott tells CNBC about the effect his order will have on Texas's public schools as well.
What it did in schools is that schools were allowed by the Texas Education Agency to continue to require masks. That requirement will end on June the 4th. However, both for schools as well as all other operations, people are always allowed to make the choice on their own to wear masks. And so anybody can wear a mask if they want to. It's just that it's a decision to be made by Texans, not to be forced by government.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live, 603-283-6160. If you want to join the conversations, you're more than welcome to 603-283-6160. We just left off with a mention of Harry Potter, which is something I was thinking about during the break, and I want to sort of circle back around into all this, because all of this conversation has been wonderfully tied together in strange and unexpected ways. You have in Harry Potter all of these archetypes that you were talking about, but you have one that is the most horrifying villain put to ink in the Harry Potter series that everyone recognizes as a villain, but doesn't consider herself to be one. And that's Dolores Umbridge of the fifth book's Order of the Phoenix. She's an absolute monster. Mm-hmm. She commits horrific acts of evil, but she does so believing herself to be doing the right thing, to be acting on behalf of the greater good. For the greater good, she calls Harry Potter to carve "I must not tell lies" into his hands. For the greater good, they issued all of these edicts oppressing the students. She was the ultimate evil bureaucrat. She was the ultimate FBI agent. Voldemort, snakehead dude, he's motivated entirely by power. He just wants power over others. And there are certainly some people like that. But the vast majority of people who seek power over others are like Dolores Umbridge. They believe themselves to be doing the right thing for the right reasons. And even if they have to do the wrong thing here and there, it's okay because it's for, quote, the greater good. Dolores Umbridge is the most terrifying villain in the series.
Well, and the one who seeks only power ends up being served by her. Like, Voldemort's plans are very well served by her putting the authoritarian lockdown on the School of Magic now, aren't they?
Yes, and then it goes on to become the Ministry of Magic, where she stays despite the Death Eaters and, you know, all of the bad guys becoming the ones in charge. She's still there. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think she's in higher authorities than she was previously.
And a lot of the people who claim government over us, either in government directly or just manipulating it, a lot of them really do believe that everything they're doing is for the greater good. Like, if you talk to, like, the people who want to thin the herd, oh, it's only for the best of reasons. They're just concerned that there's so many people on the planet that the planet won't survive. So, you know, I mean, we just need a little bit of eugenicists. You know, just, like, cut their fertility rate.
But even if we're not talking about those, even if we're just talking about people who think that, oh, well, we need to have this war or that war, or we need to have this level of stealing from people.
We've got to fight them over there, or they'll fight us over here.
Yeah, or we need to have this regulation in place so that this bad thing doesn't happen. And, oh, I'm sorry, you're just trying to, you know, be a successful person there in New Hampshire. Now you've got to face a 10-year prison sentence because otherwise someone might do the wrong thing. So you have to suffer. But
well,
it's for the greater good.
If the government doesn't regulate business, then these corporations will just run roughshod over all the workers.
Even though the government is in bed with the corporations.
Right.
To the extent that they're indistinguishable.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, unless you have a massive blind spot, which most people, and not all to their own fault, have a blind spot on either the government or the corporations. The people on the right have a massive blind spot over the evil that corporations do. And the people on the left have a massive blind spot over the evil that the government does. And I mean, it's like
only libertarians and anarchists are like seeing things as they actually are, saying there is two sides of the same coin here, people.
Right.
Corporations are in bed with government. Government is in bed with corporations.
Oh, libertarians, don't you mean racists who hate gay people?
Don't forget domestic terrorists.
Domestic terrorists.
I don't know any libertarians who hate gay people.
Me either.
I can't think of one offhand.
And I can't think of any that are racists either.
No. No. The only
they're probably out there. We just don't know them because we don't hang out with them.
Because we don't hang out.
Balls.
Right.
Freedom of Association is also a thing.
We do have a pretty profound selection bias there. But yeah, I mean, okay, so economic power, when it gets concentrated, always leads to greater political power where it gets concentrated. And greater political power always leads to concentrating economic power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cycle it's a feedback loop.
And that's part of why cryptocurrency is such a massive breakthrough. Because for the first time, we have a powerful technology to decentralize power.
It's literally melting the walls off the castle as we speak.
Yep, because if you get rid of economics, everyone starves. So you have to have an economic system.
Right, because it's not feasible. I know I'm not going to spend my days out there planting a farm and raising chickens.
Nope.
And all of that. I don't have to because I can do something else.
But if you centralize it, it's super dangerous. And whereas...
Yeah, as we learned with the toilet paper shortage of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody buys their toilet paper from Walmart. What happens when everybody wants toilet paper, I should say, at the same time? You don't have any.
Mm-hmm.
Decentralize it. Have it in more stores or in more distributors or whatever. And that's just toilet paper, right?
Exactly.
You can survive without that. We're talking about bigger things here, like money.
Yeah.
Who controls the money? One entity.
Yeah. So when it comes to economics, you have to spread the power as thinly as possible or things won't work. Whereas when it comes to politics, just get rid of it. Just eliminate political power completely.
I agree with that. But when you say spread the power evenly in the economic system, that
sounds
very...
I'm not saying evenly.
You said as evenly as possible.
As widely as possible, yeah. Like, spread it out as far as you possibly can.
But don't prohibit it from reconcentrating to an extent, I would say.
Well, right.
But see, this is where I come into an argument with other libertarians about people like Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates. So I'm like, yes, they're a dragon. I'm totally fine. When I say rob the rich, I'm talking about people like Jeff Bezos, who wouldn't have become billionaires if it wasn't for the state. I don't think it's possible for a single person or entity to amass that percentage of the wealth without the backing of the state.
Oh, without
it. Well, he did. I mean,
let alone keep it.
All kinds of dignitaries and things going to bat with China and stuff for that type of business to get off the ground and have a free flow of product coming from everything on Amazon's from China, basically.
Yeah.
So I mean, if it wasn't for all kinds of ambassadorship going on behind the scenes, and you know, there's plenty of bureaucrats going to work for Amazon.
When I say eat the rich, I don't mean the millionaires. I don't mean the tens of millionaires. I mean the Bill Gateses, the billionaires, the ones who could not have earned that level of wealth without the state.
And could not keep it without the state.
No, because people would go and eat them and take their stuff. Rightly, because it's immoral, as I see it, for one person to, you know, hold 10% of the nation's value, wealth, however you wish to phrase it. And I don't know what their percentage of the wealth actually is, but it's too high.
I don't know. I think the goon squad,
they couldn't keep it either. Sorry, go ahead.
I think calling that immoral would fail a logical, you know, wouldn't be able to withstand logic.
You're right. I don't think there's any way for them to amass that level of wealth without being immoral in the process.
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes.
That's what I meant.
It indicates immorality rather than being immoral itself. And that's the thing, because, like, the way of effectively spreading wealth is by letting everyone trade, because every time two people trade freely, both of them are wealthier.
Truth.
Yep. And if you just let people get themselves wealthier and wealthier and wealthier, then okay, sure, let's say by some miracle you end up with 10% of the money. Okay, not for long, because you have everyone around you making themselves wealthier and wealthier. And what are you going to do? Not trade with them? That's not going to help. Trade with them? Okay, then you're just going to help them get wealthier.
That's a good point. You know, selling someone something for $5 makes us both wealthier. Mm-hmm. They have this thing they want. I have the $5 that I want. Mm-hmm. Both of us have a little bit more of whatever it is that we desire, and that, by my definition, is wealth. Having what you want, what else would wealth be if it's not that?
And it also furthers the wealth creation. Because, like, if I buy a $5 sandwich from you, okay, now I have some energy to go write poetry or whatever it is that I'm doing.
And I have motivation to go make another sandwich to sell.
Exactly.
Because I want that $5 or whatever.
And you can buy some materials.
Yeah. 603-283-6160. You can weigh in, but I just don't see any arguments for, you know, the state control of economics that we have today. I mean, the arguments that we're making here about free trade are just so obvious. I can't imagine.
Most of the state arguments are actually effectively applied to charities. More on that when we come back.
Yeah, 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
What's show prep? I know Sundays we're like frantically looking around trying to find something in the news to talk about tonight. None of us have even... I got some stuff pulled up, but I haven't even looked at it. None of us important to me or fascinating to me. This conversation is
still haven't gotten back to the Saturday Night Live thing.
We still haven't, and I don't think we're going to because
we had a pile of stuff to talk about tonight, and we didn't look at a computer screen for it one bit.
No. Of course, with you tonight is Aria.
Matt.
And Peakless Mountaineer.
And you made a point about charities that I wanted to hear more about. I don't remember what I said that specifically led to the comment about charities.
You were saying, I don't think, like, you're welcome to call in, but I don't think you can really make an argument for anything that the state should run.
Right.
So I just recently listened to a debate over capitalism versus socialism, and like it was a really strong argument from the socialist guy. I mean, wrong, but really well put arguments. And you've got to think like, okay, there are things that the government is less disastrous at. Like, right now, in all of Europe, if you want to get elected, you have to say, I'm going to hold on to this medicine thing. And, okay, well, the power is still on, in spite of the fact that it's basically government-run. So, I mean, utilities are something that the government doesn't screw up quite as readily. So you got to think, like...
Quite as readily as what? As other things, or as private business money?
Rolling blackout.
Well...
Because those are two different things. Like, sure, they screw up electricity.
As other things
less...
they try to do.
Okay.
As justice, for example. So,
well, they don't even know what justice is.
Right.
Justice is forgiveness. They have this entire system built around retribution and punishment.
Right. So he was making these arguments, and I started thinking, like, okay, why is it that they are not nearly as destructive with, say, water and...
Well, Flint, Michigan would disagree.
I'm not saying they are without destruction, but I'm saying not every place looks like Flint, whereas every place is just a travesty of justice. And I was thinking, and there are advantages to what would be effectively done as charity. And some things, you get a really effective way of doing this if you have a group... bargaining power. And if you have sort of a little bit of objectivity away from the person consuming the good.
Sure, but you can get all of this within a free market as well.
Absolutely. But libertarians tend to talk about for-profit companies and all of the things that they would do better. And there's very little focus, I find, on the role of charity in a libertarian world.
Really? Because in my experience, most of the libertarians I know have either private schooled or homeschooled their kids because the government schooling is so horrific. And the Catholic schools are, by definition, charities.
Hmm.
I mean, churches are charities.
So they're homeschooling through a church?
No, those are two different groups. They're private schooling through a church.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And as far as I'm aware, there's no dispute that the private schools here in Keene, the number that we have, are significantly better than the public schools.
Mm-hmm.
For one, the Catholic school doesn't force their children to wear masks. And I know a lot of libertarians who stopped whatever schooling they were doing to put their kids in these Catholic schools for that reason alone. And I can't say I blame them. But there's also Planned Parenthood, which does receive a lot of its money from government subsidies, and that should probably stop. But as we saw during the, I don't remember, it was the Trump administration, when they were talking about, you know, defunding Planned Parenthood, mm-hmm. suddenly there was an inswell of donations to Planned Parenthood. Because they do a lot more than just abortions. Most people think of them as the abortion community. They're also where I go to get my STI screening, where I go to get my hormones and all of that. They cover a wide breadth of sexual and social issues, right? It's not just the one.
And
but when they threatened to revoke donations, people started donating.
Mm.
They increased the amount of donations they got. And they certainly performed those services better than they're being performed in the United Kingdom, where you have socialized medicine.
Right.
And you have people in hospital beds in the hallways. You have doctors who are working 250 hours a week who are on the verge of collapse or suicide.
Yeah, and medicine, I think, is definitely one of those circumstances where collective bargaining power is an essential thing to get.
And the destruction of intellectual property.
Yes.
The reason the medicines here in the United States are so expensive is because we have insane intellectual property laws. Okay, cool.
That we do.
You spent a lot of money developing this life-saving drug. That's cool. I respect that. But I'm not going to pay you $600 per shot every month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that the majority of medicine should be done by charity. And that's not to say that there should be a restriction against private companies do it. I just think that in a libertarian world, most of just keeping our health together would be done by charities.
It would also help if health insurance actually functioned as insurance,
where
you only, you know, my premium would be low because I'm young and healthy and I don't need a lot of doctor visits. But if I kept that insurance until I was 60 years old, I would still have that same rate.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, our insurance doesn't work that way because people use it like if you were to use your car insurance to get your mechanic to change your oil. Invoking your car insurance for that would be silly. But yet people invoke their health insurance when they go get a physical at the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a sustainable industry.
Right.
Because insurance is all about measuring risk against, you know, potential losses and gains.
Oh, yeah. And one thing that I would, like, if I could change just one insurance law, I would allow insurance companies to create lifetime policies. Because then you
can
have
they not? Or
no,
do they just choose
absolutely
not to?
Not. They are not allowed to make a lifetime policy. Now, if you could have
you
a lifetime...
for health insurance?
Yes, for health insurance. Because if you could have a lifetime insurance policy where you say, I will not go to any of your competitors for the rest of my life, but we have this very specific, well-made contract, then they can go, all right, here's a bunch of money for preventative care. Because I'm going to be stuck with the bill down the line, but I'm not paying for my competitors to have cheaper prices now.
I assume they could have lifetime rates, they just didn't. But yes, I mean, it's like life insurance. I could lock in life insurance, you know, 10 years ago for $7 a month for the rest of my life if I wanted. I chose not to because, you know, I was young and stupid. But if I could have locked that in for health insurance and still be paying that same rate now, or when I'm 60 years old, that's insurance that makes sense for the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
The whole reason we needed the Affordable Care Act was because the insurance doesn't make sense for the consumer.
Yeah.
I go to the doctor once every 6 months. It costs me $150. The plans put forward in the Affordable Care Act want like $260 a month. Well, screw that. I don't spend that much. And it's because only people who are sick or unhealthy need health insurance the way it's set up.
Which is why for a while they were like, well, if you don't get insurance, then you have to pay another $600.
Yes, to subsidize the unhealthy because mm-hmm. the medical insurance industry is just completely broken.
Mm-hmm. Why is it broken?
Because
John D. Rockefeller. So John D. Rockefeller, around about the turn of the century, basically used his political connections to put a bunch of pressure on all of the medical schools in the country, and personally propped up with his own wealth the schools that were going to prescribe petrochemicals, since he was a big oil guy. So he destroyed every path of medicine in this country except the ones that were making petrochemical pharmaceuticals. And we've never recovered from that.
Interesting. I think that would just be one step. I think another step would be that the government got into insurance in the first place, or not so much insurance, but such a thing as Medicaid. When a provider sees a bottomless bowl of money mm-hmm. available, they're going to take it. They're going to stick their hands in all the time. And when you have something like that, they're going to raise the rates, and regular people like me and you can't just pay our own bill.
Definitely the involvement of government, I think, that really did the trick.
Oh, yeah.
Because otherwise the industry just isn't sustainable. Yeah. If only the unhealthy and sick got it, then they'd go out of business.
Yep. Yep. And a big part of the insurance problem is that they made it illegal to give people raises during a world war. So they still had to compete for talent, so they gave them benefits instead. So every single company had to pay your health insurance, or else they couldn't compete in the market because they couldn't attract talent. And it just became a thing that got passed down, which is why we're in the situation now where if you get fired, you lose your health insurance.
Very interesting.
I didn't know that was a result of World War II. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised. There was so much collectivization then and during World War I that most people don't know where. Those two wars are how we got into this fascist machine that we're in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That was when they said, okay.
I would argue that it started at the Reconstruction, which was right after the Civil War. So, I mean.
Fair. Fair.
The war sucks.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
But even after Reconstruction, I mean, while we
had... And what's the best way that we can prevent further war?
Cryptocurrency. Decentralization of all things.
Yeah, if they can't print money for million-dollar bombs, we just won't have a bunch of million-dollar bombs.
The issue with the USC is that they don't actually have to have any wealth behind the bombs they're buying to pay their soldiers or any of that.
Right.
With cryptocurrency, they do. Just like we were talking earlier about the businesses who can't compete with the government that can just print limitless money, the government can't buy the bombs it needs if it can't print limitless amounts of money.
Even the Romans had to come up with some salt somewhere.
Yep, and they would clip their coins and all sorts of stuff, so just stop using their money.
That's how you end the Fed, by the way.
End the Fed.
Thanks for listening. This has been Free Talk Live.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. Advertise at GCNlive.com.